Well, the Lord be with you.
I'd
like to welcome each and everyone here, guests and visitors alike. We're glad you could come out and be with us today. It's good for everybody to be back together after the summer with the two services. Good to have everybody here together again. Several announcements and concerns for you. There will be a parent meeting after the OKFC today, or right at the OKFC time today, so about a reorganization of youth, so please be aware of that. That was just given to me a little bit ago. Also, there's a 7th and 8th grade children's parents. There will be a short confirmation meeting today. So if you have a kid that is in confirmation or needs to be in confirmation, please come to this meeting. It'll be a short meeting, be in the Cornerstone Room right after service today. Just need to get with me and Teenie about some particulars, and we'll get things going on. We've got the schedule down for the fall and all that. Again, OKFC is meeting today. They're going to be talking about their all their upcoming things and all that. Got several of the O-Wings groups that are meeting. You can see that. They're meeting on different days and times. Also, children's choir. If you have a child in the 2nd to 5th grade, you can get with Jana, and I'm sure she'd be happy to talk with you. And I don't know if there's any official meeting or anything, but they just need to get with you and just get with Jana, and she'll fill you in on what you need to know. Next week is our outdoor service. We will be having communion. You can fill out if you'd like to come. There's going to be a meal. We're going to try to have a donation box out for that. Did they decide what they were going to? The Breezeway Project. Jordan's working on the Breezeway, just so you know. And trying to just raise the money so it don't hurt the budget, doesn't hurt property or anything. Just trying to raise the money. So that donation will be going to that next week. Also, we will have Bible study with me starting, I think it's on the 16th, that Monday. I think it's not this Monday, but the next Monday, if I've got my noughts and gazendas in a row. Also, some people have asked about this. NALC disaster response, we're having a response to all the things that happened with the hurricane. They are sending items as we speak down to Advent Lutheran in Charleston. They're sending some flood buckets and other things. They're going to have to replenish flood buckets. You can also, there is a place where you can send donations. If you just want to send a donation in, just send it on in. There's the address there and all that. They're doing some really good work, but we send it to the local churches so that they can distribute what needs to be distributed. Right now, it's the cleanup flood buckets that they're calling it. There's an entire list on the website that you can go to. It'll tell you what's needed in the bucket and everything else. It got it all laid out to you very scientifically. Then later, there will be some other items that I know they'll need, and we'll go from there. Our friends at Emmanuel Lutheran, they are collecting wool socks to send to the soldiers. If you've got some socks that you'd like to donate, you can see Linda Austin, and Linda will get that over to the folks at Emmanuel. So be aware of that. And we want to thank the folks at Emmanuel. If you see any of them, I know you know folks over there. They help so much with our clothing closet and the food pantry. I don't know that we could do it without the folks at Emmanuel Lutheran helping us out. I mean, they really do a lot of work. And there's other ones. I know Lower Stone and other churches have really helped out, but they have been a tremendous partner in that with us. Are there any other announcements or concerns that perhaps we've missed? Don't want to miss anything. At this time, I guess we will begin our worship then. So let's all stand as we're able for our invocation and our confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please be seated. Y'all sound good today. Nice and loud. Love to hear that. Let's have our children come forward for a children's message.
Morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all good? Good, I'm glad. All right, I've got a couple questions for you because today's readings have a lot to do with following God's rules, okay? But we also talk a lot about how following God's rules isn't something that we can do to keep our salvation or anything like that. So I have a question for you, okay? Y'all ready? Who knows anything about sports? A little bit about sports? That's good. Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sure you think you know a lot. My daughter, of course, she knows a lot about sports. Okay, good. Now listen, does anybody know the lines around a field, whether it's, you know, a court, basketball court, or the lines around a football field or something? And that's out of bounds, right? Now, can you go with the ball out of bounds and then come back in and then score a point? No, right? Why? Yeah, because it goes to the other team, right? The ball will go to the other team. Why? Because that's part of the rules of whatever game we're talking about, right? And so God tells us a certain amount of things that we have as rules. And those rules, we need to start thinking about them in a certain way, okay? God is a good God, and he doesn't do anything bad, and he made us to live together with each other and with him, okay? And so the rules he tells us are to help us know what's best for us and what's best for other people, okay? So when we talk about following God's rules, we need to think about it the same way, kind of like with sports. You can't just do whatever you want and break the rules in the game and still expect to win. The thing is, if you do follow the rules, you don't always win the game, do you? Sometimes if you follow the rules and so does the other team, they might win, right? But it doesn't mean that you break the rules of the game. And so I want you to think about it that way, okay? Can we do that? Can we do that with trying to think about God's commandments to us or the rules that he gives us as being helpful for us to know how to best live our lives and best honor him? And we should honor him because he's very, very good to us. Does that sound good?
Amen.
Yeah? All right, well, let's pray y'all can get a sucker and go to children's church, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for loving us enough to tell us the rules that you have that tell us about who you are. And we just ask your help in trying to follow those as we can. And we thank you for your grace when we can't. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all, get a sucker. Please stand as you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. O Lord, always lead and follow us with your grace, that we may be still more intent on doing good. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Let's pass the peace. Many blessings, my friend.
It went well.
Love you, my friend. Love
you. Love you too.
Appreciate it.
Our first reading today comes from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving life and length of days that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. To give them. Here ends the reading. Let's repeat alternate verses on Psalm 1. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. Our second reading comes from the book of Philemon, starting with the first verse. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all of the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. And here ends the reading.
And now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. Let's begin with a short moment of prayer. Most precious God, thank you for all gathered here today. We do pray that you would open our hearts and minds to you. Help us to hear from your Spirit, to be open to your word. And we do pray today that as we scatter seed, that you will use it as you see fit. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we begin, I do want to thank each and every one that came out and helped with Jesse's ride and run yesterday. We had a very good day. Thank you for all that worked, all that just came out and participated. Thank you. There are many folks who have received help because of this. There's about 15 people who are walking around today because of the work that's been done the past 3 years, and we hope that several more will receive help and get that they truly need. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. God bless you for that. Today, we see in our Deuteronomy reading and also in Philemon and even the Gospel of Luke, we see God telling us a great truth. And in Deuteronomy, he says this, God is setting before the people, Joshua talking to the people before they enter into the promised land, and he says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. God sets this before each and every one of us, life and good, or death and evil. You have no choice in salvation. That comes from God. It comes from outside of you. But death and good and life, those things are your choice. You have that set before you today. He says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days. It's God. It's not you. It's not me. It's not the government. It's not your bank account. It's not the United States of America. It's God. He is your life. He is your everything. He says that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. And also that we might live a life worthy of God also. He set before us life and death. He has set before us blessing and cursing. Which will we choose? And that is all dependent upon how we react to God and how we react to his ways. Again, this has nothing to do with your salvation. This has everything to do with your discipleship in Jesus Christ. And Jesus lets us in on the secret of how this is to be done. In Luke 14, and as the crowds gathered around, he says to this, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, this is harsh, and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Harsh words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Harsh words, it would seem. But actually, he is telling us the key to having real and true life in this world. And he is telling us this. We must set aside everything. He must come first. He doesn't want you to hate your wife or your mother or your father. That's not what he's truly saying. He's saying, you love me so much, it seems that you're willing to even forsake them. It may even seem hate to them that you love me so much that you are willing to follow me to the bitter end in anything and everything, that you will even forsake mother and father, wife and children. Because here's the thing, if you truly want to love your mother and your father, guess what? You're going to love God first. You're going to put him first, because you cannot love your mother and your father the way that you truly should unless he is the first in line. He has to come first. The Shema says, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, the only one, the only one. That's what it means, the only one. There is no other God but our God, says the Jews. And he is our God also. And he must come first in your life. You cannot put anything above him. Because if you do, you will fail that thing that you put above him. You cannot have it your own way. I cannot have it my own way. It must be his way. This is not Burger King where you can have it your own way. No, you must do it God's way. And we have flipped that upside down. I've said it many times from this pulpit. We have flipped this thing upside down. It's called existentialism. I'm an existentialist by philosophy. It's Popeye's philosophy. Some of you that are a little older remember what Popeye used to say. I is what I is. That's existentialism as a philosophy. But as a theology, it doesn't work. I can't be what I is. I can't be I is what I is when it comes to God because he calls me to repent. He calls me to put him first. He is the creator. He knows what's best for us. I liken it in a way to kind of lighten this thing up just a little bit to a spork. How many of you are familiar with the dreaded spork? Do you know what I'm talking about? When you go to Kentucky Fried Chicken or Bojangles, it seems they are notorious for this. They will not give you a spoon and or a fork. They will give you a thing called a spork. It's not a fork, and it's not a spoon. It's neither one. It's a combination of it. And I guess it'll get the job done, but a spoon will get the job done a lot better, and a fork for what it's really needed will get the job better. Because what? God makes us a certain way. He knows what's best. And when you're Kentucky Fried Chicken and Bojangles and you want to mess with a good thing, a fork and a spoon, you kind of mess up the situation. And that's what happens to us when we try to have it our way. We're not what he wants us to be. And we will fail in life. We will fail our father and mother. We will fail our wife and our children. We will fail brothers and sisters. And yes, we've got to even give up our own life. Seems very harsh. He's talking about giving up your way over his way. You see, his way is loving the unlovable, forgiving the unforgivable, praying for those that spitefully use you. We've said this many times. That's his way. Our way is, I'm going to get you. I'm going to have my revenge. That's wrong. That's the world's way. We're to do the things that God has called us. Jesus goes as a lamb to the slaughter. And sometimes we must understand that there is a time to just go and face things. He wanted that to pass over him, and it did, but he had to go through it. The cross, the night at Gethsemane, or the pressing, that's what it means. The press, Gethsemane is a press. It was the olive press, and that place pressed down upon him. The fake trial, the betrayal, he went through it all because he understood it was better to do the Father's way than his way. And that we must do for God today. Because if we want to be his disciple, we must bear our cross. Whatever your cross is, I don't know what your cross is. Only you and God know that. Now, some have come to me as a pastor, and they have said, hey, I'm bearing this thing, and I try to bear it with them. But only you can bear your cross. I can't bear it for you. Your neighbor can't bear it. We as Christians come together and we try to help bear one another's burdens. But you must bear your own cross, and a cross leads to death. And dead people don't cause problems. They just do what they're supposed to do because they're dead to this world, the lust and everything else. And then in the book of Philemon, he gives a great example of what he's talking about here of one who was totally outside of God's will, of one who was dying a death in life, not having the life abundant that he wants. God wants us to have abundance of life. I didn't say abundance of bags of money dropping down. I said abundance of life. Abundance. And that's only by following him. And we look in the book of Philemon, and we see and hear about a person named Onesimus. Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave, and he was a runaway slave. And do you know what his name means? His name means useless. That was his name. Old useless. How would you like him to call you useless? Well, you see, we are useless. We're Onesimus if we are not following God, if we are not following Jesus, if we are not dying to self, if we are not willing to put everybody and everything second and Him first, then we're just like Onesimus. Onesimus runs away. And he runs to Paul. Paul's in prison, by the way. He's in prison, and Onesimus comes to him. And he helps Paul. And Paul speaks to him and ministers to him in prison. And Onesimus ministers to Paul. There's a great song that was written years ago. And it's called, "You Weren't Ashamed of My Chains." Talks about a preacher named Paul set in a prison for the gospel that he did proclaim. Near to despair, alone and forgotten, bound by shackles and chains. And then a friend and a brother, this is the one, this is the friend and the brother, this runaway slave, came to refresh him, to see that he was nourished and fed. And later remembering, Paul wrote in his letter, and these are the words that he said, "You weren't ashamed of my chains. You weren't ashamed of them." The people weren't ashamed of his chains. They came to Paul. Onesimus came to Paul in prison. And he wasn't ashamed of Paul's chains. And Paul wasn't ashamed of the chains that were shackling Onesimus. Even though they weren't physical chains as Paul was facing in this dungeon. Paul shackled and bound just because he preached the gospel of Jesus. Onesimus was bound by chains too. They just weren't physical that you could see, but they were just as real. And they were destroying Onesimus' life. Until he came to Paul, and the great preacher prayed with this man. The great preacher spoke to this man. And even though he's bound by chains, he's able to write back to Philemon. And he says, this one who was useless, his name even says he's useless, has now become useful to me. And to you as a brother. I'm sending him back not as a slave, but now as a brother in Christ. And he says, he is not only useful now to me and to you as a brother in Christ, but also to God himself. He has now become useful for the cause of God. You see, now Onesimus, who was bound, who had no life, now had real life. His situation hasn't changed. He's still a runaway slave. But tradition says that Philemon honored Paul's request and freed Onesimus. And Onesimus began to minister and to spread the gospel as one who was once useless, who is now very useful. God wants real life, not just for Onesimus, not just for Paul, but he wants real life for me and for you. But that means we have got to put everything in a distant second place to him. And I pray today that God would speak and minister to you and that we would be able to put aside even family if they're getting in the way of our faith, because then we can become even a better family member to them, doing the things that God has called us to do, loving them, being what God wants for us. I pray today that we can do that, setting aside everything that would hinder us and putting him first, like a horse with blinders, just seeing God, focusing on God, looking at him.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a
Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for this world and all of God's creation. Most precious God, we thank you today for the saints of Oregon Church, and we pray today that you would help us to be the disciples you have called us to be, to deny everything that would come and be placed in front of you, putting you forward, having no other gods before you, as the first commandment says. And I pray today, God, that we might be able to have the life, the abundance, the joy, the peace, even in the difficult times that you would desire us to have, if only, God, we can hear your words and have those ears to hear. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we pray for all those who have suffered this week through this hurricane, many people on the east coast of North Carolina and South Carolina, the people especially of the Bahamas. God, we pray that you might minister to them. Our disaster relief here is just a very small part, and we pray for all who are helping to relieve the suffering. And we pray, God, that you might be in the midst of their suffering, comforting them, helping them, encouraging them, and helping them, God, to move forward. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, there are many hurting and sick among us. We pray for all who are on our prayer concerns list. All, God, who are sick, those who mourn, those who grieve. Father God, as a great physician in heaven, we place them in your hands and we name them in our hearts right now. Father, as a great physician in heaven, we pray that you would minister to these as only you can do. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, may the Lord be gracious to you. May his face shine upon you. And may he be merciful and good to you each day. Amen.
Take my life and lead me.
now go in peace and serve the Lord.